Brownie, and welcome to episode 31 of Hello Fairview, your local podcast made right here in Fairview for people in Fairview, Tennessee, and the surrounding areas. This is a weekly show released every Wednesday featuring stories that aim to inform and inspire. Local radio stations and newspapers don't exist in small towns like ours, so we'll use Hello Fairview to fill that void with news related to Fairview. This is a value for value podcast, which means you contribute what you can based on the value received. This concept was founded by the podfather himself, Adam Curry, and his co-host John C. Dvorak of the No Agenda Show over 18 years ago. Currently, this is just a one-man operation, so if you have any ideas, events, business opportunities, job openings, anything like that, please don't hesitate to let me know. Use the contact form on the website, and we'll work to get the updates out on the next episode. You are a producer of this show. You are not the product because your time and attention are not being sold to advertisers for their value. Some shows will be longer, some will be shorter, but we'll always do my best to keep things relevant. Traffic time. Well, it's definitely still construction busy. You can wait anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes in the morning and the afternoon to make a left or right on Highway 100 between Old Cox and Rec Center, especially. The sidewalk project from Bowie Park to the Rec Center is still in full effect. There's been lane closures that have caused serious backups and delays. We've talked about that, even a couple car wrecks. The road closures have been further down towards the Rec Center as they're working on those school and the drains around there. There was even a double lane closure yesterday where they had one lane closed near the rec center and a different lane closed as we got closer to the high school and the marathon, the gas station there, the Exxon gas station there. So that was interesting. There's been a lot of problems with school pickup. I wish they would just be done at 2 o'clock and then it wouldn't affect school at all as the parents are trying to pick up kids. But I guess that's not how this was designed. So it's truly luck of the draw. Every time you go on Highway 100, make sure and check your traffic app of choice to see how much red or orange or yellow there is. Red light update. We still got five. Old Cox, Publix, Walmart, and the two at I-40. The city center entrance got some pavement and stuff like that as its news, but we're not sure how that extra red light there and the one that will eventually be at Cumberland and 100, if it will either hurt or help us. We will see. We're growing. Well, they're still working on Bowie Park. There have been no updates since the last show. No post from the city of Fairview or from the park or the Friends of the Park. I know that I've seen stuff come in and out of the park. The gates have been open throughout the days, even though it's closed, just because they're getting stuff in and out of there. So we'll do that. And just like last time, we talked about this on our last episode, Bob Reel is officially our part-time position city manager starting on September 1st, 2026. We'll be full-time September 1st, 2026, when he retires from the city of Dixon. The city news there was the 15th annual July 3rd celebration is there. I don't know why they don't say 15th annual 4th of July celebration, 250th birthday. Like, they kind of forgot that. But that is what it is. But our headliner is Rubik's Groove that's there. School of Rock Nashville will perform at 2:30. Brian Ree performs at 3:30. And Colby Oakley performs at 5 p.m. And so that'll be really, really cool. They always have great stuff there. And I think probably the best is all the small local businesses, and especially the police are there starting to raise money with their Shop with a Cop program. So go out there and support them. Even if you don't stay for the fireworks, go over there and just grab a burger. Use that as your fast food instead of going to somewhere else. Go support our town. Homes for sale. Well, we're down from 240 last week to 237. Our highest is $3.9 million, and our lowest got a little price reduced last week to $248,995 from $250. And so $250 is where it started, and $240. So it's it's coming down a little bit more each time here. So we'll see. And that's for our townhome there. sold report, we had 7 homes sold. The most expensive was $809,000, and the minimum was $459,000, which brought our average down to $593,137 for the week. But overall, it just brought the total down since December of 2024 from we've sold 585 houses, and our average price, which is the one thing we really care about, is $684,000. So then town meeting updates. Good thing is this will be the, you know, nice quick one. Sometimes these sections can be 10 minutes to 30 minutes and beyond a couple times when we've had more than one meeting with lots and lots of stuff on the agenda. But this time we're done. So Planning Commission doesn't got anything since last time. April 30th is our next Board of Commissioners Town Hall. May 4th is the Parks and Landscape Board. Around Town Coffee is May 13th. State of Tennessee. So then Tennessee lawmakers have passed legislation banning a pharmacy from owning a pharmacy benefit manager. This is CVS Health is the only company in Tennessee that owns a PBM. And we've kind of talked on this before, but I guess now it's finally happened because it was only discussed before, but now it's passed. This is where our healthcare costs of prescription medications do go up, and we don't have transparency there because another company has to make money in between there. The Memphis Shelby County School Board voted unanimously Tuesday night to hire a lawyer to challenge the state takeover of the Tennessee Republicans finalized yesterday through there. So basically there's some school drama going on in Shelby County, and we'll see how that all done there. Tennessee lawmakers passed their second bill to unwind the state's hospital competition law, this time removing restrictions to hospitals designed for short-term care. Starting in July 2028, new acute care hospitals will no longer be required to go before the state's healthcare facility commission to receive the certificate of need before opening. This follows a multi-year effort to remove aspects of this Tennessee's con law, which required healthcare providers to show community need before establishing or expanding healthcare services. Lawmakers first introduced this con law in 2016, and in 2024, a working group was released for its repeal. So this is very relevant to what we're doing, but won't probably apply to our certificate of need battle between Ascension Health and HCA here in Fairview between their two facilities, which is coming up, and we will be covering that in very, very detail because that's going to be a huge thing. Number four here, Governor Lee signed on the 21st yesterday a bill criminalizing immigrant presence in the Tennessee if a final deportation order has been issued. So basically, if there has been a deportation order issued and they're found in Tennessee after the 90 days, then they have faced state level criminal charges. And this is this takes effect on July 1st, 2026. And this is House Bill 1705. It's in the show notes if you want to read the rest of it. Then we had a close call at the airport. The FAA said it's investigating an extremely close call between two Southwest Airlines flights. At their closest point, they're right on top of each other with the vertical separation between the two planes around 500 feet. So that is too close. And even if you listen to the tower recordings, you could tell that whoever that flight controller was definitely realized that there was a mistake and they had to do something quickly. The alarms on both planes went off on the crash avoidance stuff, and there was a crash avoided. So basically, as one was coming in on a fixed flight path, the other one was told which way to turn as it was coming out and taking off. And it should not have went. It should have zigged, and it zagged is the simple term. The bills. Well, the House and Senate have definitely been busy, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on just today on the 22nd of April, and so we'll just kind of go through that. There's not anything after tomorrow, and some of this stuff was really, really long, and we did one of those segments last time. But basically, the committee finalized the state budget for the fiscal year, roughly totaling $59.5 billion in spending. key focus was on 10 care growth, a $1 billion transfer to the highway fund, and significant investments in K-12 education, the TESA form funding. House Bill 1530 is being the exempting retail sales of food and food ingredients from sales and tax. House Bill 1505 proposed a tax holiday for firearms and ammunition scheduled for this July. House Bill 1687 proposed increasing the property tax relief amount for disabled veteran owners, raising the cap from $175,000 to $200,000 of home value. In one sense, I don't see how that would make a difference when the average home price in the state is like $400,000. If it was based on the average home price of the whole state, I think this could be more fair, but obviously there's a lot of veterans, so I understand it both ways, I guess. House Bill 1690, a proposal to significantly increase fees for failure to comply with auto insurance requirements. And this is called the James Lee Atwood Jr. Law. House Bill 2606, focusing on requiring the TBI to establish a dedicated cold case division to go after stuff. And then something on House Bill 1695 was the Tennessee Strategic Bitcoin Reserve Act. While the Senate version SB 2639 was active, the House committee was discussing the fiscal implications of allowing the state treasurer to invest up to 10% of the state general's fund into Bitcoin. So each one of these are not passed. They're not law yet. They're still just a bill on Capitol Hill that just happens to be in Nashville, right? So this is all just stuff that's coming to a theater near us, maybe. And we'll see how these go through committee and how their votes go on that. How's the Hill? Well, it's back at it. You know, it's definitely passable. The chili has left the building last week, and this week the weather guessers are predicting highs from 76 to 84 and lows from 51 to 61 with a little bit of rain here and there, but nothing major. So we'll see. Businesses. Well, nothing new is spotted. Jingo Java still moved over to Uncle Lenny's. Vigilance is still at Marshall. Vigilance Martial Arts is still over at Publix. Ace Hardware is getting a real close hiring. Their parking lot's looking great. You can see power's been ran in there. You can see some lights on. There's still the same properties for sale and for lease. There's three properties for sale and three properties for lease. Nothing else new. The United Chiropractic, we've talked about that. The golf simulator place, they were paving its road up the hill, so that's happening, so that's good. And we get to the farmer's market. Make sure you go to the farmer's market every Saturday morning, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Messick Chiropractic and Fairview Fresh Deli Donuts, located across the road from Publix. There are so many good places to get breads, treats, local beef, pork, fruits, and vegetables, along with some hot sauce, fishing lures, and other gifts. And it's always seasonal, so it is spring, so stuff is going to start coming in. And our business highlight, brick and mortar here, is the flower shop at Fairview. This is one of our town's flower shops, and they've always done a great job for our family and many others that I've known around here, from the holidays to weddings. They do it all, and especially they were busy with prom season going on. And then we'll read their bio here. Welcome to the flower shop at Fairview, Fairview's go-to destination for fresh, beautiful blooms and heartfelt arrangements. Whether you're celebrating life's biggest moments or just want to brighten someone's day, we create stunning floral designs with love and care. From our elegant bouquets to charming seasonal favorites, we bring beauty and joy to every occasion. Stop by our shop or call us today. Let's make something beautiful together. Job openings. Well, we went from 49 to 48. One of the things was Iron Lion Entries has a glass installer was added. We still have a police officer position open and a city park maintenance crew. Then, just like we've talked about every time, we're not going to read every one of these each time, you basically every store or building that you pass has a job opening, plus places that you don't see, like Catalonia Management, Marmon Holdings, Turner's Landscaping, some of these ones that don't have a storefront that you might not see, but they still have job openings. So if you need a job, it's definitely rock and rolling over there. So let's get at it. History nugget. Well, this was going back to that Fairview Observer which was the 1998 Fairview Fact Book. And this time we made it to page 3, which was really interesting, and I've got to finish diving into it. But it, you know, one of the things it had was it had a list of all the mayors from 1959 on to there. So that was cool to see that list. But I liked the population growth, which was beside the picture of there. So in 1970, we were at 1,600 people. 1980, that 10 years, basically call it doubled to 3,648. And 1990 to 4210, 1995 to 4568, and 1997 to 4886. So this is where the magazine ends, but then my curiosity did not end. So then in 2003, we were 6878, 2010, 7720, 2020, 9537, 2024, 10,535. And in 2026, it's estimated that we're at like, I saw estimates anywhere from 11 to 13,000. So basically from 1970, we have 10X'd our population. And for many of us that have been here, call it since the 2000s, we've almost doubled our population since 2003 to 2026. And if you talk about what impact that has on your city, you are living it every single day. That's the traffic time segment. Williamson County, Williamson Medical Center was also advertised there. But I'm going to go through the history summary because it was really good, but it probably would have been a 30-minute read. So we'll go ahead and break that up into bite-sized chunks. Upcoming events. Well, if you've seen our calendar on the website, it is Sports Palooza right now, and it is on like Donkey Kong, and we are also in early voting. So new events, basically, Bowie Park is still closed. Bowie Park Read Under the Tree is April 23rd at the Historical Village at 2 p.m. Bowie Park Life Cycles, Sally's and Newt's is on April 24th at the Veterans Memorial Park from 1 to 2 p.m. And April 28th is the Fairview Titans Junior Pro First Annual Four-Man Golf Scramble Tournament. So that's going down. And we've got all the park stuff listed there. May 2nd still says the Arts and Crafts Fair at Bowie Park. And they even mentioned that at the last Board of Commissioners meeting that there was over 60 vendors signed up. So I guess it's going to get done in the next week. And then we'll have movie night at Bowie Park May 16th. And this is going for there. Early voting is on. If you haven't seen all the political signs, then I don't know where you're driving because they're about everywhere. That closes on the 30th. So basically a little bit into this coming up weekend here in a little bit into next week is when all that is going on. So definitely pay attention to all that. For the kids, well, there are still tons of activities and sports and Fairviews to keep your kids engaged. There are cheer programs. There's recreational teams from baseball, basketball, softball, football, and much more. There's a thriving Girl Scout and Scouting America program in Fairview. If you have a homeschooler, make sure you're always checking out the Bowie Park schedule for some of the clubs that meet there. If you have kids that are interested in dance, gymnastics, or cheer, please check out Lala's Dance Studio and Elevate Gymnastics and Cheer. Vigilance Martial Arts is our local Taekwondo and jiu-jitsu school that teaches way more than just moves. The Fairview Jacket Youth Wrestling Program has produced a lot of state champions and college scholarship recipients, and also offers some summer cool summer programs if you want to see if your kid's interested in it. We have the independent school has their Yay Camp, their theater camp, which is from kindergarten to eighth graders. Sign up by June 15th if you want to get in. This is a 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. kind of gig. School news. Well, hey, we're just marching towards May 21st, last half day of school. And so that's the name of the game. Hawk and Tiger news. Well, there is actually news from this week. Normally I say there's no news since last week because they don't really post much. So if you have a children age 3 to 5, popping in for preschool on April 29th, Wednesday at 2 p.m. at the Fairview Elementary School, there is going to be an information program to learn about what kind of pre-K programs there are and just more about Fairview. So if you've got kids between the age of 3 to 5 and you are zoned for, I guess, call it just Fairview, Westwood, or Fairview Elementary, make sure you go to this and learn about our awesome schools. Falcon news. Well, newsletter was on time. TCAP testing is on like Donkey Kong right now. The teacher tattoos were a hit. There was a lot of people with some big ones and small ones. Some people were pretty covered up. One of our teams also placed first at the Mountain Man Memorial Civilian Team Half Marathon, which is great. The string fling at the movies will be Friday, this Friday, on April 24th at Summit High School, and the Fairview will be there, plus I think was a total of six schools, so five other schools will be there. FMS awards are coming, so if your student was nominated, you should be notified. May 20th will be the Class of 2030 promotion ceremony for the 8th graders there. May 1st is one that just got added on here, the PTO dance party, which will be pajama disco party. So basically it says you survive TCAP, so let's disco dreams dance party here. So testing it over, the fun starts now. So lots of good stuff. It's really cool to see all this stuff. Summer orchestra camp is rocking too, if you're interested in that. And that's rising seventh through ninth graders. And that's June 22nd through 26th, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. At Freedom Middle School, if you're interested in that. Jacket news. Well, we got the newsletter this week, and the prom was a hit. Lots of good photos of people I know posting their stuff there. But testing is also here right now. So there is testing every day, all day, for the next couple of days. As you know, one of the other posts from the principal there is, as you know, Fairview High School has participated in the WCS wireless communication device pilot. During this pilot, we consistently restricted students' access of cell phones and other wireless communication devices throughout the school day and track data on violations or repeat occurrences. While we continue to restrict access to wireless devices during the school day in accordance to the board policy, which is permitted during lunch, we will no longer collect or track data for the pilot. So basically, they finish their homework. And so we'll see how all that. And then we've got some of the school stuff there. The end of chapter testing or end of period testing is going on right now. May 18th is when final exams are doing. Fairview FFA plant sale is going on. It stops on the 24th. So this is kind of your last week to go get some plants. And they've got things from $5 or $4 to $20 or $25 and everything in between. Tomorrow night is jazz and trivia night at Kano's. So make sure and go over there as that goes to the Fairview High School band. Faith moment. Well, this week we're back at our very own One Church Home with Ian Gilchrist, and this is just a couple minutes of Jesus Over Everything sermon here. I think this was good to hear about Galatians. I really like how he talks about his kids and how they can't pick anything when there are too many choices, and how that is just how we are as humans as a whole. So let's get into it, and we'll see you in a second here.
Like I say yes to Jesus, and then he gives me the empowering presence of God. He gives me the Holy Spirit, pours his Spirit out on me, not just for one time, but over and over again to navigate this complicated life. And as we move from that season into this next series, I felt compelled to go back to another book study and start really diving into the scripture. Like there's not enough good talks on the planet, podcasts on the planet, sermons on the planet. Like we need more Bible in our life. Period. And so we're going to open up the book of Galatians. And this is something that I love getting into to the epistles, to the letters, so many of them from Paul. But this one struck me this week this last few weeks as I've been preparing. This book is a response letter written by Paul to a church and a group of churches. You know, again, don't think this. This is a community of people that didn't believe in Jesus, that Paul showed up on the scene. He started to proclaim the good news of the gospel. He proclaimed the risen Son of God. They accepted Jesus and the free gift of salvation. They accepted Jesus and the call to follow him. And then Paul moved on to another town. And then Paul starts getting wind of some behavior and activities and things that are happening in the church, and he writes a letter. And Paul's letters aren't always, how do I say this? Sweet. They're not always fluffy. They're not always, they're encouraging, but you got to get past the offense you're going to take with it. Paul writes these extremely pop letters that get to the heart of the matter, calling the church back to something better, calling them back to what they're truly called to be. Because I don't know about you, and you're probably not this way, it's just me, but like we tend to overcomplicate things and make things messy when they don't have to be, because we're human. Is anybody else guilty of that? Josh said no, but when I get involved, right, it can be a perfect plan, but the moment Ian shows up, it just falls apart. Because I'm a human and I bring all my stuff to the table. And here's what's wild about the gospel. Has anybody ever had an experience where you were being served or loved on in a way that made you like uncomfortable, like it was too good to be true? Maybe it was a birthday or something, and you're like, the breakfast comes in and you're like, oh my God, this is uncomfortable. Like, people are trying to love on you, they're trying to take care of you, they're trying to serve you, and yet you get weirded out by it. You're like, do I need a tip or something? It's like, no, I'm your kid, you know, whatever. It's like, but you never do this. It's so, there's these experiences that like when things are too good to be true, we get awkward. We get weird, we get uncomfortable. We feel the need to like justify or add or somehow add our value back. There's something so wild about freedom that sometimes can lock us up. You know how I know that's true? I have really opinionated children. Like, you know, your kids might not care if I go like, hey, where are we eating tonight? Like, it's not just whatever. It's like, I really want this or I really want that. I have this, and it's probably because I've messed them up, but like, they have opinions. And if one has an opinion, the other really has an opinion. You know, it's like, no, of course we don't want Mexican food. We need, you know, Japanese food. And you're just like, who are you guys? But here's what's crazy. When I'm having a moment where I just want to pour out, like I just go, hey, anything's possible. What do you want? And I'll go to one of my kids, we call them kingdom days every now and then, where it's like, hey, just anything's possible. Just what do you want to do today? They're like, you know what I want to do today? I want to go jump on a trampoline. It's like, let's do it. And then it's like, where do you want to go eat? And they just, and all the options lock them up. All the freedom to go, you could pick anywhere. Do you want to go get a steak at, you know, some real fancy place like Outback? I do pepper in kind of my desires, like a blooming onion sounds great, but you want to go here, you want to go there, you want to try this out. When you give them too many options, they just freeze and they revert back to what they always know. And so a kid that has the ability to go to Outback and get a blooming onion, I don't know why I keep bringing this up, will say, McDonald's. You're like, dude, you eat that all the time. Why would you go to McDonald's? And it's like, and it's because the freedom does something. Why? Because in our human condition, we have this thing telling us that we're not good enough, that we can't, that like we don't deserve it. And that's why when people serve us, or that's why when people do kind things for us, it makes us uncomfortable. We feel this need to get weird and awkward about it. It's the human condition of knowing who we really are and not wanting to, and so we have to revert back to old behaviors, or we do. Like, some things are just too good to be true. It can never be that good for me. I only deserve this. And it happens in the church all the time. And from ages old, church people have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, been liberated from death, hell, and the grave, and then they go, thank you, Jesus, now I'm just gonna go back and live the way I've always lived. I'm gonna run to you, Jesus, for my salvation. But the moment you say, you're free, son, live, love, care about people, serve, tell the truth, I'm like, okay, I got it. All right, McDonald's. Because here's where I'm comfortable. Freedom sometimes is uncomfortable. I'd rather be gripped by what I know and be able to control my environment than step into this marvelous freedom that is life in Christ. And what happened in the church of Galatia is exactly that. Paul liberated these people by preaching the gospel of Jesus to them, by telling them who God was in the person of Jesus Christ, by praying the power of the Holy Spirit over their life. He liberated them from a life of bondage and slavery and legalism. And as soon as he walked out the front door, or back door, you might say, the Judaizers walked in the front. Where Paul had liberated them from a life of legalism, a bunch of people who weren't denying Jesus, simply adding to Jesus, showed up in the city. And they started telling him, well, I get it, you have freedom in Christ, but you also need to be adhering to these, you know, eating rules. And they're like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, I could see that. God would want me to eat right. And you also have to adhere to these circumcision rules. And you also need to adhere to these certain rules. You also need to add all these things to your person of Jesus, and then you'll really get it. And Paul writes a letter that, if I'm honest, feels like a father backhanding the rear side of a child to the church, saying, what are you doing? Wake up, you had freedom, and now you've traded it for bondage and slavery in the name of being holy. And there is this incredible thing that comes when we read this letter in the context where Paul is over and over again acknowledging the danger that happens to every generation in the body of Christ since the Bible was written. And the issue is not abandoning Jesus altogether, but more often it's adding to Jesus, placing something alongside him that begins to compete for the throne. Jesus plus performance, Jesus plus identity, Jesus plus culture, Jesus plus approval, Jesus plus tradition. But the moment a plus enters, Jesus is no longer over everything. And Galatians calls us back to this unshakable truth. Christ is sufficient. And as he writes to this church that's now being plagued with this decision to make of freedom, full trust and surrender to Christ alone, or Christ plus something. It's grace versus legalism. It's Christ's sufficiency versus human effort. It's a spirit-led life versus flesh-driven religion. And Paul is writing to confront this distortion and restore the supremacy of Christ above all things. The church needed this word all the way back then, and it's my belief right here in the middle of Fairview, Tennessee, the church needs that word now. Christ is sufficient. He is Lord. He has given us the advantage to life through the Holy Spirit to say, I can navigate any situation you're in. But the moment you think that you're going to control it, the moment you think you're going to have dominion over it, like, freedom is freedom. It's letting go of control and letting him have our life. And I get it. Like, there's a tension that happens because you're like, well, I need to trust God fully, and yet I got to do my part. That's not what we're talking about here. This is talking about adding to, like there is an effort that happens. There are disciplines that we walk in, but it's not for the sake of getting God to love me more. And that's where I think where I fear the church lands too often. Well, I've been attending church so much, and I've been doing this so much, I've been reading so much, I've been praying so much, I've been serving so much. Surely God loves me now. It's like, what? He loved you before you were ever even acknowledging him as Savior. How could he love you anymore now that you're doing the things he's called you to do, that he calls an abundant life? We have to realize that our effort, our work, our behavior, our disciplines don't get us to God, they come from God. And it's that differentiation that's required. But I want us to look now at Galatians chapter 1 And we're going to break down the first 9 verses this week. It says, Paul, an apostle not from men or through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you to the grace of Christ, to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what has been preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. That is strong language that Paul is writing to the church, preparing them, leading them, and guiding them into. But I want you to hear, as we break this down this morning, just the every jot and tittle, every word he's writing is pointing to this same point. Galatians 1:1, Paul, an apostle, not from men or through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Paul immediately is establishing that his apostleship, right? This is a unique little tag he puts in there. His apostleship, his authority to bring the gospel into a new territory, his apostolic authority that has been granted to him is not of human origin. It's not from man, and it's not through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. This is significant because false teachers were undermining Paul's authority in order to distort this message again, establishing this divine origin of his apostleship. Paul is reinforcing that the gospel is not of human invention, but divine revelation. Paul is right out of the gate kicking the door down. I know some people have been talking to you. I know people have been coming into the church. I know people have been using their authority and their spiritual position to tell you how you really need to behave. But I'm an apostle, not by man or through man, through the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father. No one has more power on earth to speak to the church than me. That's a, like, you wouldn't want to say that today. That would get you in a Netflix documentary. But Paul is not playing. He's right out of the gate going, I have authority over the body of Christ, and it's not by anybody's work. It's not by my work. It's not by my merit. It's not by your work. It's not by your approval. I have been told by God to do this. And he's establishing this overarching, like he's going, you think the guy who showed up and told you you needed to do this and do that has authority? He has no authority over the church, but I do, and it's given by God. Which means the gospel, right? He's going to speak to the resurrection. He's confirming that this is the same God who appointed me as an apostle. He's the one who raised Jesus from the dead. It grounds Paul's authority and the authority of the gospel itself. And this divisive act of God, the resurrection, validates Christ's work, and it establishes his lordship. This is such a fascinating moment where Paul is in just the first sentence, establishing authority of his apostleship. He's establishing the authority of the gospel because Jesus was raised from the dead. God is who he says he is. And it's speaking something to us that I think the church needs to hear now, maybe more than ever. I can't tell you as a pastor how often I hear people tell me their theology and it just the hairs on the back of my hand stand up and I go like, that's heresy. Heresy, meaning like, that's like a false doctrine. That's not true. That's a lie. God is not a liar according to his scripture. God's not giving new revelations according to his scripture. God hath given his word through his son, who is the express image of his glory, and it is finished. Therefore, if it's not in this word and doesn't align with this word, it's not true. I don't care how spiritual the moment God gave it to you in. God's not going to contradict this book. And so when people tell me, man, you know, I kind of got a special deal with God. I don't need to go to church. We're cool. I live a pretty good life. No, you don't. Because you're missing something. There's nothing magical about this building, but there's something supernatural about these people.
Welcome back. Well, I hope you liked a couple of those verses and the overall message that we need to get more Bible than opinions and so many other things related to that. There's a couple of verses that I had never heard from Galatians, but it was really cool to hear kind of Paul's direct feedback to the church of basically, this is the gospel. This is what you need to be doing. So it was really cool to kind of hear that. And that was good. Donations, nothing new on the donation front from Fountain. And so if you're using any, well, depending on what podcast app you're using, it can make it very easy. So if you go to podcastapps.org, you can see all these different podcast apps that will show you the chapter pictures and all the things that we do to try to make this a little bit better than the normal bear. But it also lets you easily donate from there, from your phone, just clickety clickety and you're done. But overall, thank you. If you found this podcast helpful, please support the show with your time, talents, and treasure. If you have any ideas or suggestions, please share it with us. Use that contact form on the website. You are a producer of this show. You are spending your time listening to the show and learning things about Fairview, Tennessee and our state. Please share your talent by using the skills and knowledge to help our show and the Fairview. So just let us know. With your treasure, you're receiving this product for free, you know, without any paid advertisements. If that's worth something, please donate. You're getting truly local news. And if that's worth something, please consider supporting us financially with the Value for Value system so that we can do more. Please follow us at social media at hellofairview.com. And a lot more things are coming. And y'all have a great day, and we'll see y'all soon. Thank y'all.